All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter number 1, and of course, on graduation nights, we have this once a year, and on graduation, at our graduation service, I always like to preach a short sermon on the subject of education or the theme of education, and I've taught different sermons and had different lessons on the subject of education, and I'd like to do that again tonight. And tonight, I'm preaching a sermon entitled The Learning Cycle. And Lord willing, we won't be too long tonight. I don't plan on preaching very long. I guess I'll preach till the pizza gets here. But the pizza's on its way, I think, or I should be here. So that's a good thing. I'm preaching on the learning cycle. And several weeks ago, I was reading a book on the subject of self-leadership. And in that book, there was a section regarding knowledge and learning, and they were talking about this learning cycle. And I'd like to quickly tonight, just as quickly as possible, give you the four steps and kind of explain this learning cycle. This was a secular book, but as I was reading it, I was thinking about Bible verses that matched up with this learning cycle. And what this learning cycle is, it is the cycle or the process in which we learn. And it is the ability to learn. And we, of course, value education. That's why so many of us homeschool our children, because we want them to actually be educated. We want them to learn and to be able to be ready for the future. And it's good to learn. The Bible talks a lot about learning, but sometimes I don't think we consider the fact that there is a process to learning. If you're going to learn something, there is a cycle by which that happens, and I want to explain that to you tonight. And give you some thoughts. I'm going to read some excerpts to you from this book as well, just because I thought it was interesting. But I want to preach on this subject of the learning cycle. Now, let me just say this: this sermon tonight, like I said, it'll be a shorter sermon. But this sermon is geared for those who have ended their guided education. Of course, we had a high school graduate tonight. Maybe you're graduated college already or high school, and you've kind of ended your guided education. That may be the case when you graduated high school or graduated college, but I hope you've not ended your education in life, because we should be lifelong learners. And I want to speak to you and preach to you, and to those of you that have ended your guided education, it's good for you to still be learning and to be a lifelong learner. Maybe for those who are starting in their guided education, like the kindergartners we had tonight, it's good for them to learn some of these things as well. And what I'm saying is that a sermon like this is good for everyone. Everyone, man, woman, a girl, boy, should be learning about learning and understand how to learn. So let me give you four steps tonight regarding the learning cycle, and maybe you can jot these down on the back of your course of the week. There's a place for you to write down some things. I left my towel here. Let me just grab this real quickly, because don't worry. Some of you see me grabbing this, and you think it's going to be a hollering type sermon. It might be, I don't know, but that's not, it's just hot. Let me give you four steps regarding the learning cycle, and maybe you can jot these down. Step number one is learn. And when we say learn, we mean the intake of information. And you know, we should be leading our lives and we should be going about our lives in such a way that we are always looking for things to learn, that we're always open, that our eyes are open, that our ears are open, and that we're always willing and ready to intake new information and have new information. You're there in Proverbs chapter number 1. Look down at verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says this: a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The Bible says that the difference between a wise man and a fool is that a wise man is open to learning. He's willing to hear. He wants to increase learning. He's looking for opportunities to learn and to take in information. And I think that sometimes we kind of just live our lives in such a way where we're just going through life and not really considering the fact that there is something to learn all day, every day. And we should live our lives in such a way where we're always learning. We're always thinking. I know for me as a pastor, this is something that the ministry has kind of beat into me, because of the fact that I pastor an independent fundamental Baptist church, and I preach three times a week on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and I've been doing it now for well over a decade, and we'll probably be doing it, Lord willing, for many decades to come, what I've learned is that I always have to be learning. I always need to be thinking. I always need to be trying to learn something from whatever it is that I'm doing, because I need to be learning new things so that I can stand up and preach and have new content and different content, and that is the case. And I would encourage you that in every area of life, you should always be learning. You men should go to work, and as you are there at work, work and get paid for what you're paid to do. But while you're there, have your eyes open and have your ears open and always be willing to learn. Always be willing to figure out a new way to do it, or to learn a new skill or a new talent. Go to Proverbs chapter 9, if you would. Look at verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9. You're there in Proverbs chapter 1. Look at Proverbs 9:9. The Bible says, give instruction to a wise man. I want you to notice this. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And the idea is this, because the book of Proverbs often will give us this comparison and this contrast. And the idea is this, that if you give a wise man instruction, he will get and he will be yet wiser. But when you give a foolish man instruction, they leave as dumb as when they first showed up. And we should be the wise man who is getting wiser, who is learning, who is taking in information at every opportunity. Go to Proverbs chapter number 18. You're there in Proverbs 9. Go to Proverbs chapter number 18 and look at verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 15, the Bible says this, the heart of the prudent, notice these words, getteth knowledge. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So notice, the prudent man getteth knowledge, the wise man seeketh knowledge. So step number one, if you say, I want to learn how to learn, and maybe sometimes people will say things like, I was never very good at school, I was never very good at learning. But let me tell you something, we all have the ability to learn. Maybe it's that you didn't know how to learn. Maybe you did not understand the learning cycle, and maybe this should be the first lesson that's taught to kids in school, is not just trying to get them to learn, but trying to teach them how to learn. The first step is to learn, to have the intake of information. Let me read an excerpt to you from this book I was reading. It says this, the beginning of any learning cycle starts with the intake of information. Taking charge of this process means proactively seeking information from people you trust and from those who have been where you want to go. And I would say the key word there is proactively. We need to be proactive. We need to be looking for opportunities to learn. Looking for opportunities to bring in information into our minds. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. He will be yet wiser. He will increase in learning. He getteth knowledge. He seeketh knowledge. He's looking for opportunities to learn. So what's the first step in the learning cycle? It's number one, of course, obviously, to learn. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Now, if you've never thought about the process of learning or the learning cycle, you might think, well, okay, well, is the pizza here? Because isn't that it? I mean, when we talk about learning, isn't that it? The learning cycle is learn. Okay, got it, thanks. But here's what you need to understand. That is not the only step in the learning process and in the learning cycle. That, in fact, that's only the first step in the process of learning. Step one, learn. What do we mean by that? We mean the intake of information. It means that you are bringing in information. It means that your eyes are open, your ears are open. It means that you are participating in behaviors that bring in information. And we often say this, and I say this all the time, you need to, and we all need to, become active and proactive readers. We need to be people who read, of course, the Bible. And sometimes people say to me, like, well, I'm not a good reader. And I think to myself, well, I mean, you're going to have to become a good reader. There's no such thing, because God gave us a book. Okay? So you're out of luck if you want to know the Bible and have the Bible. And I understand people, we all struggle and we have different struggles. I'll be honest with you. You know, being a good reader is relative. I mean, I read the Bible and dissect the Bible and study the Bible for a living, and I consider myself a good reader in comparison to most of you. But then when I compare myself to my wife, I feel like an idiot. And you know, my wife is a super reader, and I did not ask her for this permission. And so I don't know if she might not want me to say this, but she has this goal. She didn't even tell me. She was already like months into this goal, and I apparently the kids knew. I didn't know. But my wife has this crazy goal of reading, honey, what's the number? 50? 40? 40 books in a year is her goal. And I mean, she's like majorly into this goal. And I saw her one day working on this thing, and she's jotting down, and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm writing down the books that I've read this year. And I'm like, oh, how many books have you read? She gives me this number. I'm like, that's amazing. And she's like, well, I got a goal of 40 books. And I'm like, what in the world? 40 books? You know? But here's the thing. It's her job to educate 6 children. And she realizes that, hey, she has to be bringing information into her mind and into her heart. And here's what, and I'm not saying you need to read 40 books. Some of you, if you just read one book, if you just read this book, you know, we'll call it good. We'll give you a golden star. But the point is this, learn. You need to love learning and love the process of learning and look for opportunities to bring in information. Put down the video games and put down social media and put down the things that waste time and give time to learn. So step one, learn. What is it? The intake of information. But that's not it. There's another step. Step two, are you there in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 4 is where I'd like you to go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Here's step number 2 in the learning cycle. Number 1, learn. Number 2, apply. Apply. And you've heard me say this before, but it's important. Apply. You said, what do we mean by that? We mean we put into practice what we have learned. See, it's not enough to go to a church like this and have a pastor spend 8 weeks giving you lists of 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 things that you can do to fulfill your potential as a senior saint or as a teenager or as a parent or as a husband or as a wife. It's not enough for you to just come here. Look, you can come here week after week after week and hear what you need to hear, but it will never do anything for your life if you don't walk out those doors and do it. You need to apply it. You need to put into practice what you have learned. Now, this is something that's a little bit of a hobby horse for me because I talk a lot about application. I try to make sure that the sermons that are preached from this pulpit are application-driven and that there's never this idea of, I wonder what he was trying to say. I'm not sure what he meant. What did he want us to do? I always make it my goal that you may not like what I said, but you know what I said, you understood what I said, it's clear to you what the Bible expects from you, what the Bible wants you to do, it's clear what God wants you to do and what God does not want you to do. What's interesting is that the Bible pushes this theme all throughout. Now, I like to go to certain passages that prove this, but I decided that I wanted to go to different passages to show this to you. And in Deuteronomy, you find this phrase, to do, come up over and over and over again. Let me give you some examples. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and look at verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, now therefore hearken, the word hearken means listen, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. Notice this phrase, for to do. For to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, giveth you. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that God wants you to hearken unto the statutes and unto the judgments. He wants you to hear the word of God, which I teach you. What is the purpose? For to do. For to do them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Look at verse number 31. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 31. The Bible says, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them. Notice these words, that they may do them. That they may do them. See, it's not just about hearing and being taught the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, but the purpose is which thou shalt teach them. Why? That they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Look at verse 32. Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you, ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now let me just say this. In the book of Deuteronomy, this phrase to do is used 22 times in the book of Deuteronomy alone. It's used all throughout the Bible, but just in Deuteronomy, it is used 22 times. And the word do is used an additional 3 times for a total of 25 times, but not in the phrase to do. So to do is used 22 times, and then 3 other times you'll read it this way. May do, shall do, do them. But the idea of doing and putting into practice is mentioned 25 times in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I actually was going to read to you every single one that was in the book of Deuteronomy, but then I realized that the pizza would get cold, so I thought I'd just give you a few examples. But I just want to emphasize for you that this is something, a theme of the Bible, to do. Deuteronomy 31, look at verse 12. Deuteronomy 31, 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear. Isn't that what we're doing right now? That they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and, don't miss it, observe to do all the words of this law. All throughout the Bible, this idea of, look, God gave us his word. We need to hear his word. We need to preach the word, but it does nothing if we do not put it into application. Let me read an excerpt to you from this book. It says this, you must take action. It is only through the kinetic energy of putting ideas into use in your daily life that you can test your understanding of what you have learned and the value of that knowledge. It's not enough for you to just sit there and be fed information or observe information, but you then need to take that information and ask yourself, how can I apply this in my life today? How can I put this into practice? Because it is that kinetic energy. That word kinetic is referring to the touching and the feeling and the acting and the experience of acting something now that truly helps you to learn and to understand. So there is a step of application. We have to put it into practice. And I think this is why we have maybe so many failures in the school system. And this is why maybe we have so many failures in the church system, because of the fact that many people come and they hear the words and they hear it and they understand it, but they never do it. So you have to apply it, put it into practice. You need to put into practice what you have learned. So step one, learn. Intake of information. Step two, apply. Put it into practice. And then there's a third step. Step number three, go to 1 Timothy if you would. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And some of you are smart and you're like, okay, yeah, I know learn is number one, and then I've listened to enough of Pastor Jimenez preaching, I know apply is going to be number two. But maybe you don't see this one coming. Step number three, in the learning process, we said number one, learn, the intake of information. Step two, apply, to put into practice what you have learned. And then here's step three, reflect. Reflect. Say, what does that mean? It means to analyze the results and adjust. It means to analyze the results of what you've learned, what you've put into practice, analyze the results, and then adjust accordingly. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. If you find the T-books, they're all clustered together. 1 Timothy 4, 16. Just want you to notice the first part of this verse. It says this, take heed. The word heed means to pay attention to take notice of, to look at something closely. I want you to notice what Paul tells Timothy here in 1 Timothy 4, 16. He says, take heed. And then he says this, unto thyself. He says, take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear it. The Bible says that we are to take heed. Paul told Timothy, take heed unto thyself. What is this idea? He says, you should consider your own life. You should look at your own life. You should pay attention and take notice of your own life. The idea is that we should learn and we should apply, but then we should reflect. Then we should analyze. We should look at the results and make adjustments as needed. The idea is this, that look, you and I, from time to time, and it needs to be more than just, you know, on New Year's Eve, we need to take time to think through our lives and consider, what am I doing with my life, and is it working? Am I happy with these results? Is this the kind of marriage I wanted to have? Is this the kind of home I wanted to have? Is this what I wanted to look like financially or look like regarding my health? Is this what I wanted in my life? And what we need to do is reflect and analyze the results and then make adjustments accordingly. Let me read to you from this excerpt from this book. It says, once you have taken the actions that put the new information you've learned into practice, it is tempting to move on and immediately to the next new thing that you want to learn. Doing this short circuits the process and skips a vital step, thoughtful reflection on the actions you just took. And look, there is major value in experience. And we often talk about experience. And when I was a teenager, I worked at Subway, actually, where I met my wife. Tomorrow, we are celebrating 19 years of marriage. And I'm going to take my wife to a beautiful dinner at Subway. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But we met at Subway when we were teenagers. And when we worked there, the manager was a Persian man, Brother Shaw. It wasn't Brother Shaw. Brother Shaw is elderly, but it wasn't Brother Shaw. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. It was this Persian man. His name was Mo. And he would often say to us, experience is expensive. Experience is expensive. I remember him saying, experience is expensive. And you know, experience is expensive. You know, sometimes people get paid very well because of the experience that they have. And experience is a valuable thing. But please understand something. We don't learn from the experience. And the value is not in the experience itself. We learn from reflecting upon that experience. The value of the experience is not that you live through something. All of us live through something, and you might have lived through a lot of things. But if you don't learn from the experience, good or bad, then you're a fool. So people say, well, I've been through a lot. That means nothing. If people, they tell us that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And that's often how we live our lives. We say we just keep trying the same thing over and over, and we keep having the same result over and over. And you can say, well, I've had a lot of experience, but have you learned anything from it? Because the only value to experience is whether you've learned from it, and that's the reflection process where you can look back and analyze the results and make adjustments as needed. And look, in every area of life, even in our successes, we can always look back and ask ourselves, how could we have done that better? How could it be better next time? And obviously, I'm talking about life. In general, but in every area of life, we should live our lives that way. We're getting ready to have our big Red Hot Preaching Conference. A few months ago, we had our youth rally. And if you were to follow me around during the Red Hot Preaching Conference, you might notice that as I'm going through the conference and going through the days of the conference and going through the events of the process of the conference, you might see me pull out a 3x5 card out of my pocket, or you might see me maybe taking notes on my phone or something. And all throughout those events, I'm constantly making notes of things that maybe aren't as done well as I would like them, and just making notes about, because in my mind I'm thinking, well, we're gonna have another conference someday. And we don't have to make this mistake again. We can learn from it. And we can make it better. And often people will come to our conferences and come to our events, and they talk about how they're put on with excellence. But I believe that one of the reasons that everything we do is put on with excellence around here is because of the fact that we're constantly learning from previous experiences. So there is value in reflection. There is value in experience. And look, you might find yourself at some point in life frustrated with how things are going, frustrated with the failures in your life, and those are the times in life to really be honest with yourself and ask yourself, you know, what do I need to do differently, because I do not like these results. And it's a moment of reflection. Analyze the results and adjust. Take heed unto thyself. Let me give you the last one. You're there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm giving you the steps, the steps of the learning cycle. Step one, learn the intake of information. Step two, apply. Put into practice what you have learned. Step three, reflect. Analyze results and make adjustments as needed. Let me give you step number four. Step number four is this, teach. Teach. Reinforce your learning through sharing. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says this, and the things that thou hast learned, that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Who shall be able to teach others also. Let me read to you an excerpt here from this book. It says, there is something unique about teaching others that cements what you have learned. The process of preparing to be the teacher enables greater absorption of the learned knowledge. And look, the best thing that you can do to cement the learning and the learning cycle is to learn, apply, reflect, and then take that information and share it with others. Teach it with others. The entire Christian life is the life of learning and sharing. Learning and distributing. Learning, look, we should be learning, but the point of the Christian life is not for you to come to church like this, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, sit here and become spiritually fat with just the intake of information. You got all this information, you got all this knowledge, and you know everything about everything, Daniel's 70th week, and all those things. Hey, then let's take that information and share it. Amen. You say, who do I share it with? Well, if you have children, you have children that you should be discipling and teaching. You say, I don't have any children. Okay, well, we have a big ministry, a big sharing ministry, a big teaching ministry. You know what we call it? Soul winning. Amen. We can go out there and knock doors and find people, and you say, well, I thought that was about preaching the gospel. Well, if we're going to teach somebody the Bible, we got to start with step one. Amen. Right? Salvation. Let's get them saved. You say, yeah, but that's not a ministry. That's not a teaching ministry. I want to get up on Sunday night and preach. Well, how about this? Why don't you find one person, preach the gospel to them, get them saved, and then we have this other process called follow-up, and you can talk to them about baptism and get them baptized. And then talk to them about Bible reading, preach a sermon to them about Bible reading and get them reading the Bible. And then preach a sermon to them about church attendance and get them in church. And preach a sermon to them about standards and whatever, and start discipling. Look, in the Christian life, we should be sharing. Oftentimes, I tell you, as you sit in the sermons here at Verity Baptist Church, to take notes, and I encourage you to take notes and write these things down. You say, why? Because I'm doing everything in my power to preach sermons to you that you can then repeat and teach others also. In what capacity? I don't know. You can share them with your family. You can share them with your friends. I'm hoping some of you men go to work and start some Bible study and take the sermons here and say, let me teach you what I've learned out of the book of Numbers. Let me give you all these deep thoughts from the book of Numbers. Just don't ask me about the next chapter until after Sunday night, okay? And, you know, but look, and you say, do you care? I don't care. Hey, I preach to be repeated. Amen. Every preacher is just a voice crying in the wilderness, and we want you to hear it, want you to absorb it, want you to apply it, want you to reflect on it, want you to analyze it, internalize it, make it your own, and teach it to others. That's the process of learning. It's learn, apply, reflect, and teach. It's the way you learn. It's the best way to learn. And I'll be very honest with you, I'm fortunate that I get to prepare these sermons, because oftentimes I preach a sermon and people will kindly say something like, oh, that was a great thought, or I never really saw it that way, or I never really understood that chapter, and you got it in 1 hour, but I've been spending the whole week with it. And there's a power in teaching others, and you should look for opportunities where you can have the ability to teach others also. You should be looking for those opportunities. And here's what I'm telling you. If you're looking for opportunities where you can teach others also, I promise you, you will find those opportunities. There's a prepared place for a prepared man. So be ready to teach. It's the learning cycle. What is it? Number one, learn. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1 if you would. We'll finish up. Number one, learn, the intake of information. Number two, apply, the practice of information. Number three, reflect, the analysis of that information, analyzing the results and adjusting as needed. And then step number four, teach. The reinforcing of that information, the reinforcing of the learning through sharing with others. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 20, we'll finish up. The Bible says this, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Of course, here in Proverbs 1, wisdom is personified. And the idea is that there's wisdom out there. There's wisdom out in the world. There's wisdom out on the streets. There's wisdom on the pages of books. And it's crying out there. It's crying out without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorner delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. See, the truth is that you don't have to, and I don't have to go through life being dumb, being ignorant, being unwise or foolish. We can lean in to the process of learning. We need to be looking for opportunities to bring in information. We need to be looking for opportunities to apply that information. We need to be reflecting and analyzing that information. And then we need to reinforce it by teaching it to others also. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word and thank you for these thoughts regarding the process of learning. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people who learn, who understand, who comprehend. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be people who value learning. Lord, not for all of us, not just the kids, not just the children, that all of us would be learning and understanding and realizing that we need to apply it, we need to reflect on it, and then we need to teach it to others also. We love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.